listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Dynamo, a big win last night. 5-2 winners at Sporting Kansas City. By the way, had not won a game at Sporting since 2014. The Dynamo hit Sporting Kansas City for 5 goals last night. Had only scored 6 up until this point in the season. Huge win for Tab Ramos and some identity being formed. This interview with my TV partner and former Dynamo defender, Eddie Robinson. It is brought to you by NB Elite Realty. Nebo Bandovich was the former leading scorer for the Houston Hotshots. If you remember back in the day at the summit, he wants to invite you to start your journey to financial freedom through real estate investing. After finishing his soccer career, Nebo went in to build a real estate investing empire with multi-million dollar portfolio, and he wants to teach you how to do the same. Follow Nebo at Nebo Bandovic, NEBANDOVIC on Instagram. You'll get daily investment tips, secrets, more information, and you can be mentored by the master himself through his VIP program. Once again, it's on Instagram. It's at Nebo, N-E-B-O, Bandovic, B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C, B-A-N-D-O-V-I-C. He was a heck of an indoor soccer player and goal scorer, and now has created a wonderful career post-playing. Eddie Robinson joins us tonight. Eddie, well, we had a good time calling that game last night. If there was ever a time for Tab Ramos to break out with his team, we had seen flashes of it against FC Dallas. It happened last night. It all came to fruition.
Yeah, and we saw flashes of it in MLS's back tournament. I mean, the Dynamo played well in all 3 games, but there were just small mistakes, and defensively, they were not good enough. That changed. The time between the MLS's back tournament and that FC Dallas game on Friday night, they really focused hard on the defensive side of the game, and they've got it down. I mean, nobody goes to Sporting Kansas City and wins. It's rare. It's a rare occasion that you see that. And the process that Tab has introduced, the way that he wants this team to play, we're seeing it. And as a Dynamo fan, not just a former player, not just the broadcast analyst, but as a Dynamo fan, it makes me happy.
Yeah, it was uplifting for everyone, I think, around the team as the Dynamo 5-2 winners, as Eddie said, against Sporting Kansas City. They were the number one team. They are the number one team in the Western Conference going into that game. All right, so there's so many different things you could pick out here, you know. And I know you and I have been kind of going over it both on the post-game show and during the game last night and even after it. I guess the first thing I'm going to go to is, and we saw it against FC Dallas, we saw Darwin Quintero really looking like the dominating fulcrum force orchestrator of this team. It did not produce the goals, it did not produce the assists, and that certainly came to life against Sporting Kansas City. What a game for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's most people, most fans of the game think that when you take a world-class player, an outstanding player like Darwin Quintero, you can plug him into any team and to any system, and he will be successful. I will remind you, when Thierry Henry left Arsenal and went to Barcelona, it took a little bit for him to find his form, figure out how the coach wanted to play, figure out his teammates, and create that chemistry. We're finally seeing that with Darwin Quintero. So I know that he's happy, that he's excited, and when he's happy, he's confident, and he's playing like we saw against Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, and what a wonderful outlet when you're under pressure. I thought the Dynamo really, it was a game that they seemed under control for large portions of it. Maybe the first 15 minutes they survived that onslaught from Sporting Kansas City, who always come out flying. But, you know, to be able to hit his feet in times of pressure and to allow him to get himself out of trouble, you know, those kind of players are rare, and that's something the Dynamo have.
It really is. I mean, this is a true playmaker. This is a number 10 that Dynamo fans have been asking for years. Myself, I've been asking for it for years. This is a guy that can create, do something special on his own. But when you put other very talented players around him, as we saw last night, Albert Elise, Christian Ramirez, Memo Rodriguez, Tomas Martinez, when he comes in the game, he just makes the players around him better. And what I really enjoy seeing is after the FC Dallas game, Tab Ramos expressed his disappointment with the Dynamo in the attacking third. He told that to the players. They worked on it in training, and then bang, it changed. So that shows me that these players really respect him as a coach, really respect what he's trying to implement, and they're all on board. So I think this is just huge and really good for the Houston Dynamo.
Was part of that because FC Dallas was really defending in such a low, low block? I mean, they didn't even look like they wanted to try to win the game. Sporting Kansas City, on the other hand, we know it's going to be an open game, and it's kind of one of those games that epitomizes what Major League Soccer is about. The good thing about MLS is that you get these open games. This was a great entertainment value, but was the Sporting style also maybe in some ways punished by the Dynamo?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you watch the two games, FC Dallas sat back. But the Houston Dynamo cannot complain that they didn't have really good chances. That's the combination true. Play that we highlighted last night with Christian Ramirez in the first half. And then in the second half, Albert Elise tries to play a through ball. It deflects. He's one-on-one from 12 yards out with the goalkeeper and hits it right at him. Memo Rodriguez, free at the top of the box, takes a heavy touch that leaves it under his feet. The Dynamo had chances. The difference between that game for me was that they scored their chances, their really good chances against Sporting Kansas City. And if they had done that against FC Dallas, I'm certain that FC Dallas would have felt a little more urgency and would have come out. But after that first half, FC Dallas was saying, okay, we're struggling a little bit. I think we'll be happy to leave with a draw.
The beauty of Tab Ramos becoming the coach, and we're talking to Eddie Robinson. This is brought to you by NB Elite Realty and Lustau Vermouth. The beauty of Tab Ramos is a fresh slate for players, right? And we've seen renewed confidence in some individuals, and some unlikely sources in the last two games have played some really, really good minutes. I think you got to go right to Darwin Seren. He may have been in the doghouse of the past regime of the team. Nico Hansen probably played the best 45 minutes I've ever seen him play, with a goal and an assist. Take me into that and take me a little bit into just the beauty of a new coach and confidence.
Well, the word is confidence. And the reason that coaches around the world in the game of soccer are called managers is because they have to manage. They have to manage players' emotions, players' egos. Because when you get to the highest level and these guys are making a lot of money, the egos get big. And you have to know how to deal with players. Tab Ramos has been there as a player and now as a manager. So he knows how to talk to guys. He knows how to inspire confidence. And when he inspires that confidence, he inspires trust. And these players trust him. And they see the results on the field. In years past, you know, you look at Owen Coyle and Wilmer Cabrera, no disrespect to those guys. They had their own strong suits, and they had playing careers. But Tab Ramos, Pablo Mascherani, I mean, the whole coaching staff are a group of players now that these guys grew up watching, so that they understand and they know, and there's maybe a little bit more respect there. And again, no disrespect to the previous coaches, but Tab Ramos just brings something a little different. And the way that he expresses his wants and his desires of how he wants individuals to play, how he wants the team to play as a collective, it just inspires the players. It makes them excited to show up at training every day. It's not sluggish. It's not, oh, here we go. Let me get through training and then get home and spend time with my family. Guys are actually excited to show up. They're excited to train. They're excited to learn. They're excited to go over the game plan for the next game and implement those things in training so they're successful, as we saw against Sporting Kansas City.
Eddie, I think it's important to note, too, the difference between this coach and the last one. And this is not taking shots at anybody, because coaches have differing styles. They're autocratic. They're democratic. Some are very secretive and don't want to let people in. In this case, Tab Ramos is letting people in. He's making it a very inclusive operation with his position as the leader of the team and as the club now, I think, as the coach. Because he's weaving in staff, he's weaving in the fans, he's weaving in media. You know, we're not allowed down there, but he's very, very open. And he's very open, obviously, with us. He's very open with the players, which means, you know, if you're a player, you just want the truth told to you so you know how to proceed. You know, if you're not a starter and you're being told, hey, you're number three in the center back position, you got to work your way up, and here's what you got to do to get there. You have to prove it to me. I think that's refreshing.
He's likable. You know, he's likable for the fans because, I mean, look, on Tuesday night, we get a halftime interview with Tab Ramos. We haven't had that in years with the head coach. It was always passed off to an assistant coach if we were fortunate enough to get an interview. And his accessibility for me and his honesty is so refreshing. And again, it just comes down to the little things that he does that creates trust, that creates respect, not just with the players, with the fans, with his bosses in the organization, Matt Jordan, John Walker, with the owners, Gabriel Brenner and crew. What he's doing is, it hasn't happened in Houston in a long time. You go back to the days of Dominic Kinnear. He was always open and honest and always available. A little bit brash. You may not like what he has to say, but he's always telling you the truth. And I think we're seeing that with Tab Ramos as well, as he starts to get a little bit more comfortable in this environment of Major League Soccer.
Speaking to Eddie Robinson, TV analyst on Channel 55, also former Houston Dynamo player. This was a really, really good night for the Houston Dynamo. It was one of those games that was just so much fun to call, and just seeing them break out. And then, you know, seeing and listening to a coach and then seeing it come to play and fruition in a game is so exciting. When you hear a coach talking about being more possession-based and wanting to penetrate and wanting to be aggressive and then, you know, wanting to win the middle third of the field and creating this cauldron of competition for places, when you see it all come together, it's such a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and it's really easy to sit here and say, or to sit for Tab Ramos to sit and say, this is the way I want to play. I want to transition quickly. I want to be very good defensively. I want to play through the thirds. I want to gain possession, but it's so difficult to implement. I was fortunate enough to spend 2.5 years as part of the Houston Dash coaching staff. And then when you're in a professional organization as a coach, trying to implement these things and teach these things to players, it's so much more harder than it sounds. It's so difficult, but he's done a fantastic job. And even with, you know, we talked about he only made the one substitution against FC Dallas, made a few against Sporting KC that really changed the game in the Dynamo's favor. So the ability to make in-game adjustments that are successful is something else that's very difficult. And for this being his first professional head coaching job, coming from the youth national team, all the years with the youth national team, he's doing a fantastic job.
Fantastic to see the smile on his face at the final whistle and the embrace with his staff, Pablo Mastroeni and Omid Namazi and all Paul Rogers and all the guys that are a part of the staff. That was a wonderful moment there, I thought, pretty indelible at the end of the game. But as Darwin Quintero said after the game in the press conference, Eddie, keep your feet on the ground. We haven't won anything yet. And that's the kind of words you want to hear. 8 days from now, it's Minnesota United. We got a great storyline with Christian Ramirez and Darwin Quintero going up against their former team.
Yeah, and listen, that's not the only interesting thing that Darwin Quintero said in his post-game conference. He knew immediately who the next game was against. He knew Minnesota was coming. He knows that he wants to have a good game there, and it's at home. And we talked after the FC Dallas game about how important it is to win your home games during these moments, because this is a time with everything that's going on, with everything that's crazy. When you're at home, you get to sleep in your own bed. You get to have your same game day routine. What time you eat breakfast, what time you take a nap, what time you eat lunch, what time you take your pregame meal, what time you get to the stadium. All of it's the same routine. Whereas we saw with the Dynamo traveling to Sporting Kansas City, they flew in that morning. That is hard to do. So when you have the opportunity to be in your comfort zone and play at home, you've got to win these games. And the Dynamo have two in a row coming up. So if you can string three wins together with 9 points, talk about some confidence and getting on a roll, man.
Yeah. And you make a good point. We have to remind people, Dynamo flew in 10:30 on the morning of that game, charter flight, went to a hotel, probably rested up, had a pregame bite to eat, probably had a meeting, then went to the stadium, played the game, and then got home in the early morning hours of the next day. So as Eddie says, that makes it even more impressive. Eddie, you know, it's interesting. Whenever I talk to you and you talk about players being happy, you do talk a lot about meals and food. And you know That's one way to a person's heart, right?
Listen, if you were to check out my Instagram, you wouldn't know that I had three daughters.
I have checked out your Instagram. I don't go there often anymore now because every time I look at it, it's like 8 o'clock at night and it makes me very hungry because you're putting these pictures of savory slabs of barbecue and all kinds of things up there. But I do like it. What's your Instagram tag? Give it to people.
Eddie Robinson too.
All right, there it is. Eddie, thank you very much for coming on and looking forward to getting behind the mic on TV again next Wednesday.
Thank you for having me, Glenn. I'll see you soon. Hey, be safe tonight, all right?
You too. Eddie Robinson, La Liga update is brought to you by Lustav Vermouth. Get a little Spain in your life. Lustav Vermouth fun, whether over ice with tonic water or club soda, or my favorite, paired in a gin and tonic with your favorite gin. You take the orange peel, you break it, you get the essence of the orange, and then you put a few drops of lime juice in there. Lustav Vermouth is refreshing. Try the Rojo with hints of caramel and cola. The Rojo's great in a Manhattan or Negroni, or the Rosé with a hint of vanilla or white, which are both great in gin and tonics. Lustav Vermouth, ask for it at your local liquor store. They will order it, and it is very refreshing, and you will want it. All right, we'll take a break. We got more to come.
Nightfall, smoke on the water, dark darkness closes in. Cold white hand in the deep will drown you for your sins.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
I'm Vlad Kandanovsky, the coach of U.S. Women National Team, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
Thank you for that, Vlatko. Vlatko was in town. We did a couple of great interviews with him. One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, but incredibly successful soccer coach taking over for Jill Ellis with the U.S. Women's National Team. All right, Minor Figueroa, Houston Dynamo defender, two World Cups, 2012 Olympics, 37 years old, still the captain of Honduras. Wigan and Hull in the Premier League, scored that amazing goal from inside his own halfway line. Incredible journey to the top from Honduras. Figueroa has been excellent in the last two games for the Houston Dynamo here in Phase 1. He is leading the Dynamo back four. So here's my interview. We'll start with, we're going to do two segments here. This is segment number one with Minor Figueroa, Houston Dynamo defender, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm and Lou Stavermuth.
So when I talk about Boney El Presidente, does he have the best smile in Major League Soccer and Honduras? Because Minor's got a good one too. But has he got the best or does Minor have the best?
No, Boney es el presidente tanto acá como en Honduras. Es una persona muy carismática, que se gana el cariño de la afición donde quiera que llega, así como se ha ganado el cariño de la gente acá en Houston, también tiene el cariño totalmente de toda Honduras. Y yo vengo, creo que tres pasos atrás de él.
On that front, Glenn, Boney definitely takes my vote. His smile and you know, he's just so captivating. He draws people in, whether it's here in Houston or in Honduras. He's someone that, you know, we're all just going to look up to. Personally, I know where I stand, and I'm behind Boney. He's Mr. Presidente, and he has the best smile in the bunch.
He's unbelievable. All right, we're talking to Minor Figueroa. We carry on here. How about Albert Elis? And you mentioned Albert. You watched him grow. He's obviously made it clear he wants to follow in your footsteps and play in Europe. Do you speak to him about that? Do you talk to him about the experiences there?
Sí, hemos compartido con él mi experiencia, lo que yo viví estando en Europa, porque es algo que les puede servir de motivación a ellos. Y como lo dije anteriormente, Albert ha hecho grandes temporadas acá, en partidos decisivos, pues él ha aparecido. Creo que lo que él le ha dado al club ha sido bastante grande y bueno, yo soy de las personas que digo de que si él tiene una oportunidad de repente de probar algo diferente, no decir algo mejor, porque igual acá el equipo lo ha tratado muy bien, pero si él tiene la posibilidad de probar algo diferente, a lo mejor él tenga sueños, y si el club le puede ayudar con esa oportunidad, pues ¿por qué no? Creo que es una persona que se lo merece. Yo, como lo he dicho, se lo he dicho a él, prefiero tenerlo de compañero que de tenerlo de rival, porque de rival es un jugador que tiene mucha velocidad y que tiene muy buen juego aéreo. Entonces, pero si es de no tenerlo de compañero porque él quiere algo diferente en su carrera, pues bienvenido sea.
Yeah, Glenn, we definitely talk about that just because I want to share what I experienced. I found that it motivates him. It's motivated others to give that much more so that they get to that next step. And when you look at him and what he's done for the club and what he's done for the city, I mean, he's delivered. He's delivered in key moments and in big games, and he's always around. He's always one that could change a game for us. I've already told him that I enjoy having him as a teammate, knowing that I don't have to deal with him on the other side of the field, just because what he brings to the game, whether it's his pace or his ability in the air, he could just hurt you in so many different ways. So I've enjoyed playing with him. I know he's ready for the next step, and I feel like he would do well. I've been very public about my support for him, so we'll see where he goes. And it's a question of something different. It's not a question of something better, because I feel like the team has treated him well here. So if he's searching for something different, something abroad, I fully support him.
We're talking to Minor Figueroa, captain of Honduras, Houston Dynamo defender. So in 2012 for NBC, I was calling the Olympics, and I got the pleasure and the privilege of calling the amazing Honduras win over Spain, which you were a big part of. Where does that rank in your career as incredible moments? Because nobody expected Honduras to beat Spain and Juan Mata.
Creo que nosotros en esos Olímpicos de Londres hicimos una gran labor sin tener el apoyo incluso de nuestra gente en Honduras. Creo que la motivación, el hecho de estar en una competencia donde prácticamente no tenés nada, donde todos dan de que no vas a hacer nada, entonces nosotros llegamos y nos propusimos de que íbamos a hacer una gran campaña y que le íbamos a hacer la vida imposible a las selecciones que nos pusieran enfrente. Y recuerdo que pues nuestros inicios pues estuvieron un poco ahí, pero en partido contra España hicimos un gran partido, anotando el gol desde el primer tiempo, incluso bueno, contra Brasil también, pues al final las cosas se nos fueron, porque obviamente teníamos jugadores que podían desequilibrar y que al final pues todo iba a pesar, todo se iba a inclinar hacia ellos, pero el cariño de la afición ahí en Newcastle fue enorme, fue grande. Recuerdo de que Roger Espinosa hizo una gran labor y al salir pues él expulsado, él pensó de que la gente lo estaba abuchando y no, la gente lo estaba aplaudiendo. Creo de que esas memorias, esos recuerdos quedarán marcados para el resto de nuestra vida.
That was a big team effort. I mean, when we were going into this tournament, when we were going into the situation, it felt like it was us against the world. We didn't have that much support in terms of expectations. People didn't expect that much of us. Even back home, people didn't expect us to get too far. So we definitely felt like it was us against the world, and we were dead set on making it tough on any national team coming in front of us to get anything from us. And that was our mentality. You saw it throughout the game, and that game specifically, I think one of the big key moments for us was that first goal. And just kind of navigating that. Now, the game itself went in so many different directions, but you take away some of the memories prior, during, and after. For example, just the overall support at the final whistle and going on after that from the Newcastle fans, that general community. Something that stands out was this experience with Roger Espinosa, who felt that he was getting booed, just given the way the game turned out. But no, he was actually being supported for what he left on the field. And, you know, that's where we left it all. We left it all there on the ground.
Minor
figure. Y obviamente que la responsabilidad también, pues, para mí en particular era inmensa por el hecho de ya estar jugando en la Premier y haber sido uno de los refuerzos mayores, pues, teníamos mucha responsabilidad, así es de que ahí estábamos ahí, siempre pendientes de las necesidades de cada uno de mis compañeros y animándolo de que la mejor oportunidad que uno puede tener para mostrarse y que cualquier equipo lo pueda contratar era estando allí, porque realmente en nuestra liga pues difícilmente nos ven y que esa era nuestra oportunidad, que esa era nuestra chance y que teníamos que dar el todo por el todo para poder tener una posibilidad de poder encontrar un club que nos dé la oportunidad pues de poder ganar mejor y así cambiarle la vida a nuestra familia. Y bueno, creo que de ahí pues varios tuvieron la oportunidad y eso ha sido lo mejor.
I definitely had a big responsibility in just being one of the overage players, and at that time I was playing in England, so I was able to walk through some of the younger guys on navigating that environment and motivating them, right? Because we were in a unique situation where we had the eyes of the world on us. So we wanted to perform. We wanted other teams to kind of look at that and say, all right, these guys, they can hold their own. Where do they fit in our club? Can we bring them over? And it definitely worked out the way for quite a few of them where they went abroad. And that was a goal for a lot of them walking into this tournament, just because it gave you that opportunity to try something new, earn a contract abroad, and make life better for yourself and your family.
So I'm listening to all this and I clearly see the leadership qualities in Minor. I see it when he plays. I hear it in his voice. I hear it in the things that he says. And I know he could go on forever playing, I think. But does he one day, would he be a manager? Would he be somebody that works with players? Because there's such a bank of experience here. It would benefit Honduras. It would benefit any soccer players. What would he want to do one day post-playing career?
Pues es muy posible. Es muy posible que nos preparemos para ser entrenador, pero no lo veo como a un futuro a corto plazo, no algo como a corto plazo. Quiero, una vez terminando mi carrera como futbolística, pues darle un poco más de tiempo a mi familia, acompañar un poco más a mis hijos. Mi hijo mayor, pues gracias a Dios, está con la Academia de Liverpool y bueno, me gustaría estar un poco más de tiempo con él y al mismo tiempo pues ir preparándome, porque realmente esto del fútbol es algo que he venido practicando desde muy niño y la verdad que mi vida fuera del fútbol, la verdad no sé qué sería, pero sí, de alguna u otra manera pues vamos a seguir enrolados en el fútbol.
It's definitely something I've considered, Glenn, but it's not something that I'm just going to jump straight in just right off the bat. That's not a short-term goal. It's definitely something that I'm looking at the long term, just because there's a few things that I want to do once I do decide to call it a career. At the top of that list would be spend more time with my family. Very fortunate that I've got my son who's currently in Europe in the Liverpool Academy, so I want to spend time with him, just my children in general, my family, before I make that jump and make that transition to getting back into the game. I've been involved with the game from a very young age, and honestly, that's all I know, right? It's not something where I thought about doing something away from the game. It's just giving myself that time to prepare for that next step and enjoy my family along the way.
Y una vez que ya comencemos ya en la parte ya como entrenador, pues me encantaría más que todo lo que es en la parte formativa, en jóvenes de la edad de 8, 12, 16 años, porque eso es una de las deficiencias que hoy por hoy, pues si decido devolverle un poco a mi país de lo mucho que me ha dado, sería eso, la parte formativa.
As far as where I would want to focus once I do take that next step, I definitely want to focus on the younger age groups, anywhere in the age range of 8 to 16 years old, just because I feel that's a big, that's a key group, that's a key age range where I feel like I could contribute and do my part to give back to Honduras, who has given so much to me and help with that development part of it, of their development, just because it's such a key range to where they'll transition to next.
That's a wonderful sentiment right there. Now, I would imagine that there's a lot of sports talked about in the Figueroa household, with his wife having been a handball player. Is sports talk every day, all day, at the Figueroa house?
Somos una familia, por así decirla, pero bueno, ya mi esposa ya hace mucho que se retiró, ya con el nacimiento ya de los tres niños, ya es muy difícil por el hecho de yo tener que estar viajando, concentraciones, entrenamiento, ella tiene que dedicarse al 100% en ellos, así que, bueno, ya ella ya, por así decirlo, ya está retirada. Pero sí, mis hijos pues están ahí, que quieren ser futbolista, no los estoy obligando, no los estoy forzando, pero sí, como padre, pues estamos brindándole el apoyo y bueno, aquí vamos a estar para apoyarlos y que ellos puedan alcanzar sus sueños.
Then we are definitely a sports family, but it's been a while. I mean, my wife retired a while ago just because she had she wanted to focus on the family aspect. It's a lot to ask of her to take care of the kids, just given everything that's required in my career, all the travel, all the time away, just other challenges that come with being a professional soccer player. So she's devoted herself to that, and I'm very grateful for her for doing that. Now when we look at what my kids are doing, they definitely want to be soccer players, and I'm not forcing them. This is their decision. And along the way, I'm definitely going to be there to support them, to help them, just because I've been through those situations. I've been there. And if that's what they want to pursue, more than happy to support them.
Thanks there to Edgar Valise also for the translation. But Minor Figueroa knew exactly what I was asking in English. His English is actually very good. His son, by the way, 14 years of age, has been in the Liverpool Academy. He's back here due to COVID right now. All right, Luis Dalvermuth. A big thank you to Luis Dalvermuth. Tonight we brought you Jordi Sunyer in our La Liga update, brought to you by Luis Dalvermuth. Get a little Spain in your life. Luis Dalvermuth is fun, whether over ice with tonic water or club soda, or my favorite, paired with your favorite gin, or my favorite gin, with an orange peel and a few drops of lime juice. It's refreshing. I love having one of those once in a while. It is a fantastic vermouth. Lustau Vermouth. Ask for it at your local liquor store. It's L-U-S-T-A-U. Daspit Law Firm, a huge thank you as always. They are the presenting sponsors. They are the main guys when it comes to getting us on the air. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT, bilingual. John and his firm, we're going to bring you a personalized approach. They're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, and also Boomer Naturals, the mask I've been wearing to go down to the stadium and do my game. Nanotechnology. There we go. Boomer Naturals. Thank you very much for the mask, because it's making me feel very comfortable and very, very safe. Part two, Minor Figueroa, coming up on Soccer Matters.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off.
Hi, I'm Carly Lloyd, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the show here, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We're in the home stretch here, everybody. I hope you're staying safe here tonight. A lot of great feedback on Facebook, Soccer Matters. We're over there live right now. Go over there. A lot of people talking about Lionel Messi over there, the Houston Dynamo, also the Champions League. Get over there. Facebook, Soccer Matters. You can also hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. And also get over to glendavissoccer.com. Tell you a little bit about how I've gotten to where I have, and a lot of interesting things over there, blogs and other things like that. So hope you check it out. All right, this final segment here is brought to you by NB Elite Realty. Visit NB Elite Realty's website, nbelitrealty.com, or call 844-444-NBER. This is Nebo Bandovic, is his company. He's a former Houston hotshot goal scorer. He wants you to start your journey to financial freedom today. NBElitereality.com. Check it out. You're going to get 100% of your hard-earned commission at closing. They offer low transaction fees, free investment training, exceptional support, no hidden fees. So if you're a real estate agent, it is NBElitereality.com. Also, as always, our show presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. DaspitLaw.com. Thank you for getting soccer on the radio. All right, here's part two, Minor Figueroa, Houston Dynamo.
What was it like growing up in Honduras, and where was the first influence that he had in football?
Minor, pues, ¿cómo fue su desarrollo, su niñez en Honduras, y cuál fue lo que le atrayó, lo que le dio ese interés en el deporte y específicamente en el fútbol?
La verdad que mi niñez fue muy bonita. Yo vengo de pueblo, nací en un pueblo que se llama Nueva Armenia, y el haber crecido ahí, ya sabemos que el vivir en pueblos y en países como Honduras, pues los recursos son pocos, pero la felicidad es enorme. Y podría decirle de que siempre me inspiré en mi familia, y el deseo de jugar fútbol, pues siempre lo he tenido desde que tengo uso de razón, así es de que el fútbol es mi pasión y lo he practicado desde muy chico.
So on that front, just growing up where he grew up, he comes from a smaller village where resources might have been a little limited, but one thing that they never went without or something that they always had in abundance was happiness. That's something he's taken with him, just that he always had that sense of home from where he came from, and had that helped him kind of get to where he is as far as getting with the game and getting you know, that kind of joy for it. That's the first thing he remembers. Ever since he was just aware of where he was or what he was doing, he's wanted to play the game. So that's followed him. That's helped him enjoy his career up to this date, and that's how those two kind of come together, right?
Is there any specific person, a youth coach or anybody that really was a big influence early on when he was younger?
Minor, tuvo un director técnico o alguien que lo pues le ayudó en ese desarrollo que marcó una diferencia en su niñez jugando el deporte?
Realmente que sí, hay dos. El señor que fue mi entrenador mientras jugaba en mi pueblo, que en paz descanse, Teodoro Amaya. Y el segundo, Gil José Rodríguez, cuando ya pasé a formar parte de la academia del club profesional de Victoria, él fue el que me formó, el que me ayudó, y realmente ellos marcaron un antes, y por qué no decirlo, y un después en lo que ha sido mi vida futbolística.
Yeah, Glenn, he definitely does have individuals who influenced him as a youth, both prior to working or playing at the academy level and Coach Maya, and then after, once he joined the academy at Victoria with Coach Rodriguez, they both played a role, not just in getting adapted to the game, learning the game, but also even now, just to how he's approached his time here at this level for so long.
Talking to Houston Dynamo defender Minor Figueroa, also the captain of Honduras. What is it like to be the captain of your national team and be a national hero? I mean, I've seen so many of the amazing games that Minor's been involved in, and we'll get to a couple of those. But what is it like to be the captain of a country and really be regarded as a national hero and having the eyes of a nation on you playing football matches?
Minor, ¿cómo se siente ser el capitán de la selección y pues también ser referente en su país tras lo que ha hecho en la cancha de fútbol?
La responsabilidad es muy grande y la asumimos con mucha valentía. En mi camino he tenido muchos referentes, de los cuales he aprendido mucho, como el caso de Amado Guevara, que es un líder, que es un jugador que hizo mucho por la selección y que internacionalmente, pues acá en la MLS, pues pasó con buen suceso. Así es que hemos aprendido de ellos y ha sido importante. Más allá de haberlo visto jugar a él, pues también haberlo tenido como compañero me ha enseñado mucho. Y representar a mi país creo que es lo más lindo para todo jugador.
Big responsibility. I've been fortunate in that I've had a lot of people who I can look up to, ask questions, kind of get a better insight as to how to manage this position, because there's a lot of pressure. One of the individuals that stands out that played a role in that would be someone like Amado Guevara, who also played in MLS, and he also represented Honduras. So you kind of take from them and piece it and kind of go through your own journey, and it's kind of led me to where I am right now. So it's definitely very fulfilling, but it comes with a lot of responsibility.
Honduras getting to two World Cups, and we're talking to Minor Figueroa, the two that Minor played in. What was the biggest memories maybe he took away from playing in World Cups? Because it is rarefied air. It's only a few people that ever really get to play in that tournament.
La verdad que tengo grandes memorias, grandes recuerdos. Haber clasificado dos mundiales suena fácil, pero realmente no lo fue, especialmente para nosotros como país que tenemos nuestras limitaciones. Pero como lo he dicho anteriormente, logísticamente podremos tener esas limitaciones, pero las ganas fueron muy grandes. ¿Y qué podría decirte? El entonar el himno nacional de mi país en esa justa, la verdad que ha sido lo más maravilloso que me ha pasado a lo largo de mi carrera.
Glenn, well, a lot of those memories actually begin in qualifying, just that journey to get to the World Cup. So I take a lot of that from those experiences. And then just given from where we come from and maybe having not as many resources as some of the other big players and being able to, you know, play beyond that, play on the field and be even and get there and qualify, the journey itself is very rewarding. Now, when you get to the big stage and you hear your national anthem, honestly, that's just the greatest joy that has been that I've experienced as a professional soccer player.
Remarkable. Minor Figueroa, captain of Honduras. We're talking to him now. And this is an amazing interview to get here because the career just takes him so many places. So I take you to Wigan, and one of my favorite goals ever in the Premier League is your free kick. You're thinking faster than everybody. And against Stoke City, you knock it over the head of a goalkeeper from inside your own half. One of the most remarkable goals ever. Can you take us through that goal again?
Ya al portero ya lo había visto que le gustaba jugar un poco salido y desde el primer tiempo ya había visualizado, había hubo un momento en que también hubo un foul casi de la misma distancia y justo cuando ya iba a ejecutar el tiro libre se me puso un compañero enfrente y jugó, pero ya era una jugada que ya la tenía en mi mente. Ahí solo hay dos opciones al momento de ejecutarla, hacer el ridículo o que te salga un golazo y bueno, me salió la segunda y la verdad que hoy por hoy pues se sigue recordando ese gol en mi carrera como el mejor y yo así lo veo.
Well, in that game I noticed that the goalkeeper actually went out of his box a few times. So even from the beginning I was able to tell that this might be a possibility and I actually had a shot prior to that kick. It just so happened that a teammate got in the way, so I didn't get really two shots at that kind of goal. But when you're in that position, you really only have two options, right? You either go for it all or it's one big whiff. It worked out for me there, and it's definitely one of those memorable goals that we talk about even to this day just for what it represented and you know, the situation and how that led us to that great year.
Talking to Minor Figueroa, by the way, I looked at that goal right before doing this interview again to refresh my memory of it. And it gets better every time. I think it's better every time I look at it. What I would ask Minor next and I would want to know about is just the adaptation to the Premier League and the speed of play and what that was like for him.
Me tomó mucho tiempo el adaptarme a la Premier League porque yo venía de una liga de un país donde el fútbol es muy pausado. El fútbol en Honduras es muy pausado. Podemos parar el balón y tomarnos todo el tiempo. Pero al llegar a Inglaterra me di cuenta de que el fútbol era totalmente diferente. Los césped totalmente diferentes, siempre mojados. La velocidad del balón. Físicamente hay que estar bien porque es mucho roce. Y me tomó prácticamente, por así decirlo, 6 meses. Recuerdo que en mi primera etapa, porque fui a préstamo, solo tuve la oportunidad de jugar un partido, pero a partir de ahí, pues, me fui ganando la confianza del entrenador.
It took me a while to adjust. I mean, honestly, I was coming from a different part of the world where the game was just a little different. It was a little more slower. You could pause on the ball. You could think and kind of maneuver yourself to where you want to go, while in England, it's just completely different. There, you just don't have that time, that space. Even the circumstances around the game were different. I mean, the grass was different. It was wet prior to every game. Even the balls felt different. So it took me about 6 months to really get used to the conditions over there. And in that stretch, I only really played one game. And even from there, I could just tell how much I was able to grow and develop just from being in that environment consistently for so long.
Two very different.
Aparte jugar en el frío, bajo la nieve, era una experiencia que nunca había vivido en Honduras. Siempre calor y llegar de un país donde estamos a 100 grados y llegar a un país muy helado, también eso me afectaba mucho, pero me fui acomodando rápido.
And to top it off, let's not forget about the weather. It was very cold over there. It's something that was just a culture shock for me. And so as someone that came from a country where it's 100 degrees, it's very hot and humid, you didn't get that over there in England. So For me, it was definitely challenging to get past that just because that's what I walked into right off the bat.
And what about culturally, just even down to the food, which is very, very different? I don't know if the English have the best food, but what about down to the food and things culturally? Because that's a challenge for people going from different parts of the world. Whether I would go to Honduras or Mexico, it's a challenge.
En cuanto a la comida, no tuve problema. Realmente, siempre viene desde un principio, como lo dije, cuando uno viene con una crianza donde uno no ha tenido mucho, mejor dicho, solo ha tenido lo necesario, para uno después al final cualquier cosa suma. Entonces, con la comida no tuve problema, aparte hay muchos africanos, muchos lugares africanos y hindú, y al final la comida de ellos con la de nosotros casi viene siendo igual, así es de que no tuve problema y en lo que era pues la comida inglesa probé alguna como el fish and chips y bueno, me gustaba.
Well, on that front, no issues with the food, honestly. I mean, like I mentioned before, when you come from somewhere where I come from, or you have my background where you just had the bare minimum, you learn how to make do. So that wasn't an issue when I went abroad. And then I found other communities, communities like the African community or the Hindu community, where their food, their spices had similarities to what we would have back home in Honduras. So I was able to get a little taste of home from there and kind of get a good overview of how those communities fit into the whole scene over there. And then when you look at some of the more traditional dishes like fish and chips, I definitely had my fair share of that. So it gave me a good opportunity to expand and try something new here and there.
Talking to Minor Figueroa, captain of Honduras, also Houston Dynamo defender. How does he enjoy playing here? You know, obviously with Boniac Garcia and Albert Delis and some of his countrymen. It must be a nice, comforting thing to be doing that in Major League Soccer.
Sí, compartir con Albert, con Boni, antes de catalogarlos como jugadores, son grandes personas. Con Boni hemos tenido la suerte de haber crecido junto en el Club Olimpia. Jugamos mucho tiempo allá y también en la selección. Con Albert, pues, hemos compartido algunos partidos en la selección y ahora que estamos compartiendo camerino. Es un jugador que podríamos decir de que ya está en su momento de repente de dar otro salto a otra liga, a otro país, de experimentar cosas nuevas. Boni, pues, no tuvo la oportunidad, pero igual creo que ha hecho una gran carrera y una gran labor acá en este equipo.
Definitely. I think when you look at some of my teammates now, some of my teammates in the past, whether it's here in Houston with Boni or Albert, I see them more as first as great people and then as teammates, just because we've shared so many different experiences. When you look at Boni, he's someone that I've practically grown up with, someone that I've shared a lot with, both at the club and the national level. So there's a lot of history there. And then on the other end, you see a player like Albert. He's someone that I've seen grow both at the international level and at the club level. And I've seen him grow into a player that, you know, who's ready to take that next step, who has developed his game and wants to go even further.
Well, Minor, muchas gracias. I've been wanting to do this interview with you for a long time. Edgar, I've been bothering him forever of Dynamo Communications. So thank you very, very much for doing this with me.
Ha sido un placer. My pleasure. Y aquí estamos.
That'll do it on Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5 tonight. What a way to end it with Minor Figueroa. He has been exceptional in the last two games. 8 days from now, the Houston Dynamo will take on Minnesota United. Huge thank you to our presenting sponsors, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are personal injury attorneys. You get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler. Or if you work in a refinery, do construction, hey, call John and his firm, Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. John and his firm will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. By the way, they are the presenting sponsors of our show in Houston and our Soccer Matters show on the Horn in Austin, Texas. As always, tremendous job from Aaron Raybould producing, and also from Victor Ariza. We thank Victor for all his hard work on this show as well. That'll do it for tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Stay safe. And until next Tuesday night, we go back to our normal time at 7 Central. I'm Glenn Davis. Good night.
ESPN 97.5.